Welcome to the May 11th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 13, and the sermon is entitled Family for Families, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
But I'm going to ask that you go to the book of Romans chapter number 12 today. Romans chapter number 12, and as over the past couple of weeks, we've had the blessing to celebrate together baptism. We've had the blessing to celebrate graduate recognition last week, and today parent-child dedication, and in particular today, the parents dedicating their children to the Lord. What a godly act. What a godly perspective of saying, I'm going to do the very best in my power to raise my child to come to know and to learn about Jesus Christ. So today our challenge as we gather together is this. How are we going to be the family to these families, church? More of a devotional message, but real quick, here's what I want to ask you. As we look at the life of the church, it comes with a responsibility that you and I carry. And today we're going to look at the book of Romans to give us three simple truths as we look together at God's word. Let's look, Romans chapter number 12, verses 3 through 5. Romans 12, 3 through 5. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Point number one today is simply this. The family must be one. I look at a lot of people that I hold in high regards, that I grew up knowing, many of you mentors, many of you who are recently adding, maybe you have come just because of something you've heard about Clifford, but I want you to know, I believe God is here. And saying that, God's people need to be one. The dividing factor of churches today is that we have more disgruntled arguments among ourselves and we wound our own than any other time. And here is the reality. We cannot minister to the world if we are not united as one. That is not to say that we won't disagree. That is not to say that we won't see eye to eye. But here is the reality. Churches are failing and faltering to Satan's grin because people cannot get along. And why would families want to come be part of the family of God if it looks like the rest of the world? And so today, what we see here is something that is way bigger than any one person in this room. It is bigger than you. It is way bigger than me. It is God at work. And what God says here in verses 3 through 5 is this, that the beginning place to start to look when you come to church, when you think about God, when you pray, is yourself. Verse number 3 says this, that a man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you want to circle something, underline it, you better underline those words. And you may say, Jeffrey, why are you preaching this message when there's so many guests in the room? I just want you to know the church needs to be truthful. And we've got to be accountable, and we've got to be real. We cannot hide anything. And we're going to get to that in just a second. But here's what Paul is saying. An inflated view of yourself will disconnect you from God and disconnect you from other people. If you think more of yourself than you ought to, then you will push people away. Pride pushes people away. Humility connects with people. So when you come to church, and this has already been said by somebody earlier in the service, I heard it, I don't remember who it was, but when you come to church, it's not what can I get from this place or what can I get from this family of believers, it's what can I contribute to make it stronger. And we are not as strong as we could be because there are needs that need to be contributed by you. So, I boil all that down to say this. You don't stand above anybody. If you are coming here and you think just because you are saved, you are better than somebody, that is not the attitude of Jesus Christ. And so, very real today. Our attitude must be one of humility, not looking down, not thinking you are better. But here is the question. How then do we become one? Look at verses 4 and 5. We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Before you look at spiritual gifts, and which we're going to get to in just a second, here's what we have to remember. We have to look at our own lives. We must weed out pride out of our lives, and strife and dissatisfaction and slander is often seen around those who are pride-filled. If you are around somebody that constantly talks about somebody, you're either in church or the world, and the church has gotten the picture of the world. So I'm real today. How do we become one? It starts with one, and that one is ourselves, is you, it is me, and it has to look deep within our heart. Rowing is an Olympic sport. I don't know that rowing is something that you would sit around your TV and watch as they row down in a straight line. And I don't know if you watch that. Maybe you do. But I remember it from the Olympics. I remember watching. And here is the only thing that it amazes me. How all those people in that boat can row at the same time in the same direction trying to get a super fast speed. We need to become Olympians. You need to pick up your oar and quit rowing against brothers and sisters and row in tune with God. It's not to the beat of the pastor's drum. It's in the beat of God's drum. It's amazing what happens when you row and you work together instead of against. Now, you may sit here and say, Jeffrey, is something going on in the church? No. But here's the reality. You've got to nip things in the bud before they ever become a problem. And so today, as the church, we can't expect families and babies to come in if we're not united, moving in the same direction. God can take many different people, many members, and he can make them one in service to himself. And so today, the challenge before I move on is there is one body, there are many members, there are different functions, but you work together for the good and for the glory of God Almighty. That is the purpose of church. There's another point. Look at verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Point number two is the family is diverse out of necessity. The family is diverse out of necessity. These three verses give us seven spiritual gifts. Those gifts are in these verses: prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. And Paul says this: spiritual gifts are different from person to person. Just because Jeffrey has this gift doesn't mean Terry, my wife, has the same gift. Here's what God usually does. God takes two people that are gifted differently and puts them together. That way they can be stronger for Him. And so, if you come to my house, Terry and I are very different people, right? And so, I want you to expect that when you come to the family of God, when you come to the church house, guess what? You're gonna meet all kinds of people. And that's a blessing. It is a recipe in our own minds for disaster. But I don't want everybody here that thinks like me. Because guess what? I will never be pushed. I will never be challenged. I will never be held accountable. I will have free will and free reign to do whatever Jeffrey wants. And that's not good. I can get an amen right there. But here's the reality. And it is a miracle in the work of God. Paul says this, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives or divides these gifts as He wills. There are different people of different backgrounds with differing gifts. And as I said, that could be a recipe for disaster, but God uses our differences to come together as one for His kingdom's work. Someone once said, that every Christian has a gift. H.B. Charles is the one that says it, and I probably will not remember it right off the cuff, but he says there is no Christian that is ungifted. And so today, if you're a believer, you're sitting here saying, okay, where do I have gifts at? What is my spiritual gift? Here's what I want you to know. God has given you one. The hard part is figuring out what it is, and the harder part is then using it for His kingdom and His glory. And so today, that is a challenge. But why are we so diverse, or why do we need to be diverse, and why do we need to exercise these gifts? We need to exercise them through faith and through the local church that God will get the glory from our lives. Warren Wiersbe says this, spiritual gifts are tools to build with, not toys to play with, or weapons to fight with. And it's not, you are better than me. That's not the idea. I may be able to run my mouth better than you, but you're better, you can do something way better than I can. And so today, how do we balance those spiritual gifts? How do we use them as tools? We'll get to that in just a second. But it's amazing what happens when you have a church when everyone does something. Here is the reality of church. You're not called to do everything, but you are called to do something. Prime example. When I first took over this job, guess what? For 40 years, guess who the last person leaving the church was? Mike Fitzgerald. God bless him. And for the first part of my ministry, guess who the last one leaving church was? So in the politest way I can, here's Jeffrey. Church has been over an hour. Get out of here. God gave a handful of men and women and said, Jeffrey, you don't need to be doing that. I can lock a door. I can make sure it's locked so you don't get a call during the week that the church is open. It's amazing what happened when people say, there's a need, there's something I can do, and I can help out the body of believers. You will be at home, you will finish your lunch, you will be laying down for your nap, and somebody is still here waiting for the last person to leave. Where are you gifted? Where can you use your diverse gifts for the building of the kingdom work, whether it's rocking a baby or leading a class or leading a small group? Where are you gifted, and how does the Lord want to use your diversity of gifts to further His gospel work that He will get the glory? How many of you have a toolbox? I see some men. I got to buy you a toolbox. You didn't raise your hand. I got a toolbox. I always have one in the back of my truck. Went camping when my kids were little, And to my chagrin, I have a big adjustable wrench that I always kept there in case something messed up. A big adjustable wrench is pretty flexible. I can use it for a lot of things. And there are my kids with a chisel and an adjustable wrench wailing on rocks trying to bust them. That's what many churches are forced to do. Maybe your toolbox has a hammer. Maybe it doesn't. But if your toolbox doesn't have a hammer, you're going to pick up something. If you're like me, you're going to pick up something and use it as a hammer. But it's not intended to do that. And so you're not going to get the very best out of it because it's not intended to do that. And some of you, whether you have a hammer in your toolbox, you wanted to use the hammer to fix everything, you know? But there's problems on both ends. And here's the reality. The church is doing some things in that mindset because there are some tools out here that are not being put to work. And so the church, you may come here every Sunday and say, I don't like that. Don't just say you don't like it. If you're gifted, do something about it. Come to the pastor. Come to the nominating crew and say, look, I have a gift and I want to use it for God's glory. And so some Sundays you get up there and say, Jeffrey looks like he ain't got a clue. That's the Sunday I got a hammer trying to use it as an adjustable wrench. Do you get my point? We are diverse toolbox, according to Warren Wiersbe. And God needs you in his church. A family among families. So today, the last point comes from verses 9 through 13. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. The third point of today is this. The family loves, learns, and leads together. The primary action of the church is to display a love for Jesus to others that come through those doors or that you minister to. Out of that love springs a love for those around you. But Paul says this love must be genuine. How do you test if something's real or not? I don't know if you've been to family dinners and got macaroni and cheese, but you can tell if mama made it or not, right? Now, here's what I don't want you. I don't want you to sit on that pew as a judge and judge everybody that walks by you. If you show up to church judging people, you got the problem. But here's what you need to do. You need to test out and see if things are real. In my line of work, and I wish most of you men could be pastors for a day. In my line of work, you deal with that constantly. Is this real? Are they telling the truth? Are church people telling the truth? I may get a lot wrong, but here's one thing I will never get wrong. I love Jesus, and you cannot second guess that. And I want people that I know and that I love to love Jesus as well. And that's why I'm passionate. I know for some of you, you turn your hearing aids off when you come here. I apologize, but I love Jesus. But here's what I want you to know. Love is where everything flows from. Look again at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. What in the King James world does that mean, right? What does that word mean? Here's what it means. You must love genuinely without hiding your true feelings. That's what it means. And how do you do that in a family of people that are different and bigger, and you don't even agree with everything that they do? How do you love and not disguise it? That is the question. Evil, according to this, should disgust you. But love should be something that flows through you without hindering or without disguising it. Don't you dare walk up to somebody like you like them or love them and you have in your heart that you hate them. That's not true love. So here's what I'm telling the church family. If you are a member of Clifford Baptist Church and you have issues against somebody in the church, fix it. Quit pushing it down the road. Quit kicking the ball in the can and saying, I'll deal with it later. And you never deal with it. And then you come to church and you put on a smile like everything's okay. Hogwash. I want to be one. I want other families to come join and learn and love Jesus just like I love Jesus. And if they're met with people who act like the world, they will leave the church and go back into the world. And some of you say, I don't care. God determines that, whatever. No, that's hogwash too. It's my job to be a witness for Jesus in this place. And I know I am very direct, but here it is. If people don't see Jesus in us, they will not see it anywhere else in the world. Happy Mother's Day. Sorry, mamas, you got a hard sermon today. I'm wrapping up. Here's the big picture. Today we've seen 12 families come with 14 children. That's our responsibility, church. When we think about a family being a family for families, that's exactly what we need to think about when we see these young families today. Young families, I want to talk to you right now. Imagine a place and a family where you can be surrounded by the true love of God, that you can go outside and you can live life and you can spend time together. You can go to ball games and cookouts and groups and know somebody is cheering for you and your family. That's what church is. Families. If you're thinking, if Clifford Baptist Church is for my family, look, I'm just going to cut the cheese like it needs to be cut, okay? But here's the reality. We love you. And we want to love on your family. But we also want you to be a part. And be a part of this family. Church family. There is one piece of scripture that I want to leave you with. And that comes from John 13:35. Here is a word for the church. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. There is an overarching desire to love Jesus that should lead our lives and be detected in our life as well. But you and I come before him in these moments as a church family, as believers, and here is what we are saying together as a church family. I love Jesus, and I will love others like Jesus. The challenge of being one is unity. And so, church, today, meet me at this altar, because here's what I'm saying. I need to become humble too. I can get so full of Jeffrey that it's not good for anybody. So I've got to practice humility as well. And so today, maybe that's you. Maybe pride is an issue. You need to look at yourself and you need to become humble. Maybe the challenge of being different, different gifts, different backgrounds, different calling. Maybe today you're saying, where can I get involved in this big church? Guess what? God's got a spot for you. God has a spot for you. He wants to use you and your giftings as a tool in his bag. And the third thing is this, the challenge of genuine godly love. And I'm just going to say it. Maybe I should have said it like this earlier. Quit acting. Quit. Quit acting and love one another through the good, through the bad, through the right, through the wrong. We've got to lead and love one another. The last part. Maybe today you're here. You're missing the greatest blessing, not being part of an individual family, not being part of a church family, but maybe you're here and you're not saved. You're missing the greatest blessing of all, and that's being part of God's family. There is no greater joy. There's no greater joy in my life than loving and living for Jesus. And today, if you need to understand, yes, your sin is so bad, it would separate you from a holy God. And you need to confess that sin. You need to repent of that sin. And you need to turn to Jesus and place your faith in him. Today, you can do that, understanding he took your sin on an old rugged cross. He died there. His blood shed in your place. He defeated death. He rose on the third day. And he gives life to all who will believe. Today, I end this service by saying this. I love you. You are the joy outside of my immediate family. You are the joy of my life. I want to do this for a long time with you, but we must do it together as one. Today, however the Lord leads you, our altar is open. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the blessing of this day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of family. And God, you have just put in my spirit to be a family man. Anybody knows Jeffrey knows that my family is close by. And Lord, that circle expands to include church family. These people before me are my life. You have called me to lead in such a way that would be an example, but also to steer them and to lead them to love and deeper walk with you. So God, today, if there's somebody in this room that just needs a closer or deeper walk with their Lord, God, I pray, Lord, in a public way, they will come and bow before and say, God, just lead my life. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs you as Savior, we trust that you will do that work. But God, I pray that they will hear the heavenly call to come to Jesus, to repent of their sin, and to accept him as Savior today. God, thank you for what you're going to do in these moments. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work and lead us and change us to be more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.